Commissioners, can I have you unmute your mics? And clerk, can I have you call the roll?
Thank you. Commissioner Shaw?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
Commissioner Villacana?
Here.
And let the record show that Commissioner Ann Wyatt and Christina Simpson Spearman are absent.
All right, if I could have everybody join me in the flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have the clerk read the changes to the agenda?
Thank you. So added to the consent agenda, a request for a first-time extension by Santa Margarita Ranch, LLC, for a vesting tentative tract map 2586 and CUP S030115U to subdivide a 3,778-acre portion of Santa Margarita Ranch. The proposed subdivision would result in 111 residential lots, 5 agricultural parcels, 1 2.5-acre building envelope with a primary dwelling and ranch headquarters on an open space parcel. A ranch headquarters site at the Portuguese Corral and a remainder parcel, and would leave 3,633 acres in agricultural conservation easements. The subdivision will require roadway frontage improvements and will create an on-site road in addition to an existing driveway. The proposed project is within the agricultural land use category and is located directly southwest of Santa Margarita Urban Reserve Line. The site is in the Salinas River sub-area in the North County Planning Area. County file number NEXT20230006. Supervisorial District 5, Project Manager Blake Molly.
All right, are there any public comments on matters that are not listed on the agenda? Do we have any speaker slips?
I've received no slips.
All right, I will close public comment. And at this time, if I could have updates on the upcoming commission business.
So good morning, Mr. Chair and commissioners. I'm Erlen Singwald, environmental coordinator. I will provide planning staff updates this morning. So there is one item of interest for you from the Board of Supervisors meeting held on June 20th. The board denied the appeal of the Planning Commission's approval of a vesting tentative tract map and conditional use permit to subdivide an existing undeveloped 10.88-acre parcel into 15 parcels ranging between 0.56 acre and 1.3 acre each for the purposes of sale and future development of each proposed parcel for residential use. That was a project located in the community of Templeton. There are currently no items on the docket for July 13th, so this meeting will be canceled. For the next meeting, July 27th, we currently have one item on the docket. That is a hearing to consider a request for a minor use permit to allow the construction of a 2,400 square foot winery facility with a 500 square foot tasting room. The project is located 6.5 miles west of the city of Paso Robles. A note regarding your future meeting schedule: outside of the regular Planning Commission schedule, a special meeting has been planned to consider the Dana Reserve specific plan. There will be two meetings held back to back on August 30th and 31st. An additional half day has been reserved on September 1st, if additional time is needed by the commission to consider that project. Finally, I wanted to announce that we have released a public review draft of the minor ordinance amendment cleanup package. It's available on the department's website, sloplanning.org. The minor ordinance amendment package includes the what we've been calling the urban small wineries ordinance, which allows for wineries as an allowable use in the commercial retail land use category, a distilleries ordinance allowing for distilleries as a principal use in agriculture and rural areas of the county, adding a guest ranch to the definition of dude ranch in our land use ordinance, and then a couple other more minor cleanups. The public comment period on the minor ordinance amendment package closes on July 13th, and that ordinance is tentatively scheduled for the commission to review on August 10th. And that concludes planning staff updates.
All right, thank you. I will be gone on that July 27th meeting, so I don't know with the matter for the winery if it if we have a really busy agenda on the 10th, if we could shift it to there. Otherwise, I'm sure the rest of the Planning Commission can handle it, but just to let you know, I will not be here.
Thank you.
All right, so let's see, we have the consent agenda.
Oh, could I ask a question?
Oh, yeah.
I had a question about the Dana Reserve project. Would we have an opportunity to have a look at some plans or a study session or like a preliminary report before that time? Because I'm already having folks reach out to me, you know, I want to meet with you and to discuss, which, you know, is, I think, for this project, reasonable. But I would like to kind of have a briefing from staff before I start getting all the opinions from the public, if that makes sense. So I don't know if other commissioners wanted some kind of briefing or if you've already had that. But with two of us being new, I've read a lot online, but I don't feel as up to speed as I would like.
So one option that comes to mind is we could schedule one-on-one briefings with individual commissioners to kind of give you an overview of the project, where we are in the process, and answer any questions that you have.
Okay, yeah, I would like that. And we also talked about having some sort of uniform way of recording our ex parte communications. So if we could have that soon, because, yeah. Oh, great. Right now. Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
We did have a hearing on that. The owner was here present and presented it.
Okay.
So.
Good. All right. So yes, I would like that.
Yeah. So in the month of July, I will reach out to commissioners to schedule at least a 1 hour meeting to just get you up to speed on Dana Reserve if you
Good.
Like.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
No, I just found it. It came today. There's your copy.
All right. Are there any speakers on the for the consent agenda? All right.
No.
Hearing none, I'll close public comment on the consent agenda. And if I could get a motion on the consent agenda.
I move to approve.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Clerk, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Thank you. Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes. All right, at this time, I would like to switch around the agenda to move up hearing item number 6, if it's okay with the other commissioners. If I could have the clerk call the first item.
Thank you. A hearing to consider a request by Doug Filipponi for a minor use permit to allow the construction of a 2,675 square foot quick service restaurant with a drive-through, a 3,200 square foot convenience store with a detached gas station with 8 fuel dispensers, a 1,170 square foot single car wash tunnel, and an on and off-site improvements on a single 2.47 acre parcel known as East Bennett Village. County file number DRC 2021-00102, Supervisorial District 1, Project Manager Eric Tully.
All right, is there any ex parte? All right, hearing none. If I could have Erlyn, if I could have you introduce the project team, please.
Sure. So, Mr. Chair, on this item, we did receive a request from the applicant for a continuance to a date certain of July 27th, 2023. Staff is supportive of the continuance request. However, the team is also available to give a presentation on the project if that's the commission's desire.
Is everybody okay without a presentation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so we have a request for a continuance. If I could get do I need to open it up for public comment?
I'll defer to Ben, but I think so.
Yes, I would open it for public comment.
All right, is there any public comment on this item?
Good morning, my name is Jamie Jones and I'm representing the applicant this morning. And we do appreciate the commission's consideration of a continuance. We've received some community input on the project, and we are making some revisions to the site plans and removing some components that there were some comments on. So we requested a continuance to July 27th. That being said, Commissioner Villicana, I understand you may not be at the meeting on the 27th, and this is in your district. So we are available for a continuance to August 10th. If the commission would like to move it to that date, we're amenable to going to that date as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Does that date work for the staff?
Yeah, that does work. The only item that we have tentatively scheduled is that minor ordinance amendment package, but there should be plenty of time to also hear this project.
Okay, so we could amend the continuance to a date certain of August 10th.
Yes.
All right. I will close public comment at this time, and if there are any other comments from planning commissioners, if not, I will entertain a motion to approve the continuance.
I move to approve.
Second.
All right, Madam Clerk, can I have the roll call?
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Villicana?
Yes. All right, thank you. All right, so next, if I can have the clerk now go back to item number is it now?
Number four.
Number four, please.
Hearing to consider a request by Miranda and John Battenberg for variance and minor use permit to allow construction of a 3,216 square foot single family residence, 1,125 square foot garage, 144 square foot covered porch, 1,728 square foot entry courtyard, 1,523 square foot patio, 160 square foot pool, 100 square foot tower porch, and associated improvements including water tanks, utilities, and driveway access. County file number N-DRC 2023-00005, Supervisorial District 1, Project Manager Blake Molly.
Is there any ex parte on this item? All right, hearing none. Erlyn, if I could have you introduce the project team, please.
Yes, so our project manager who will be giving the presentation this morning is Blake Molly. Sitting with Blake Molly is Eric Hughes, our Principal Environmental Specialist.
All right. Good morning, members of the Planning Commission. I'm Blake Molly, Project Manager with the Planning and Building Department. Before us today is a request by Miranda and John Battenberg for a variance, NDRC 023-00005, and minor use permit NDRC 2021-00022. This project proposes the construction of a 3,200 square foot single family residence, 1,100 square foot garage, 1,500 square foot patio, and associated improvements, including water tanks, utilities, and driveway access. The proposed project will result in the disturbance of approximately 2.1 acres. That includes utility trenching and access road improvements on a 9.02 acre parcel. The proposed project is located at Zero Via Lots Road, approximately half a mile north of the city of Paso Robles. The proposed project is within the residential rural land use category. Here we're looking at an aerial image of the overall vicinity of the project site. In this slide, we see the overall site plan. Access to the project site will be from Via Lots Road. You can see the project site is located near the rear of the parcel in the northwest corner of the property. In this slide, we're looking at the proposed residential elevations. The proposed project was referred to various departments and agencies, including the San Miguel Advisory Council and the City of Paso Robles, who did not comment. Mitigation measures have been identified to address potential impacts associated with air quality, biological resources, geology and soils, hydrology and water quality, land use and planning, and mandatory findings of significance. These measures have been included as conditions of approval. The following findings can be made as required by Land Use Ordinance Section 226270D1. No feasible route to access the Battenberg property was identified by the applicant that would avoid affecting slopes areas of 30% or greater. The proposed development locations were identified in an effort to minimize grading to the greatest extent feasible. Alternative driveway alignments were considered. However, grading on slopes of 30% or greater was deemed unavoidable. The proposed development is in allowed use, and development will result in no adverse impact on health, safety, and welfare. At this time, staff would like to acknowledge two changes in the conditions of approval. The first being condition of approval number 21, which does not apply to the proposed project. Staff recommends removal of this condition. The second being condition of approval number 23, staff recommends revising this condition from prior to issuance to prior to final inspection as required by code. The change is reflected in the red text. Staff is recommending to adopt the mitigated negative declaration and approve the variance NDRC 2023-00005 and minor use permit NDRC 2021-00022 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the revised conditions listed in Exhibit B. This concludes staff's presentation. Staff is available to help answer your questions. Also joining us today to help answer questions is Mr. Ian McCarville on behalf of Kirk Consulting and the applicant. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the presentation. Are there any questions for staff?
I had one. Could you explain the 2-to-1 water offset just in layman's terms? Because you have a house that's not there, then a house is there. So how does it offset 2-to-1?
Eric Hughes, County Planning and Building. So the 2-to-1 offset is it's a requirement under county code. And essentially the code allows the applicant kind of a wide latitude of options to offset. But let's just say, throwing out some numbers, they use an acre foot. So then they would need to offset 2 acre feet, and they would need to demonstrate that they've, conserved, saved, offset that water in the Paso Basin, and that's provided at the time, when they're going through the construction permit process prior to final occupancy.
Okay, so you're not starting at zero, you're starting at what a house of that size would take, and then you're offsetting it 2-to-1.
That's correct.
Okay, all right, thank you.
I had the same question. Thank you.
All right. It sounds like we have an applicant here to speak.
Good morning, Chairman Villacana and commissioners. My name is Ian McCarville, and I'm a land use consultant at Kirk Consulting. Today, I'm representing Miranda and John Battenberg and their minor use permit and variance project located at Zero Villa Lots Road in Paso Robles. Seeing how the staff presentation thoroughly covered the proposed project, we'll make ourselves available for questions. And I would like to just state one thing for the record, and that is I'd like to clarify that the water use provided in the staff report is the project's estimated gross water use. And per the planning area standards, the project will be required to offset the net water use, which is the amount of water used minus the volume of water returned to the groundwater basin through wastewater return flows. And that will be verified at time of occupancy or final inspection. Thank you, and we're available for any questions.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions for the agent? All right, hearing none, thank you very much. Are there any speaker slips for public comment?
I have no speaker slips.
All right, then I'll close public comment and move to a deliberation. Are there any thoughts?
I guess I would say, after going through this completely, I've seen so many of these that it fits in with the rural landscape, neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't do Esparte because I'm very familiar with that country up there, having lived near it. Anyway, unless somebody else has a comment, I'm ready to make a motion.
Yeah, I think it looks like a very nice project. And, I do worry about the water because of everything that's going on with re-regulating the Paso Basin. But until there's some sort of building moratorium, I think this fits in and they're offsetting. So, yeah, I think it's fine.
Then I'll go ahead and adopt the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with the applicable provisions of the California EQA Public Resources Code 21000EC. Approved variance and minor use permit NDRC 2021-00022 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
I'll second.
All right, Madam Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
Thank you. Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes. All right, thank you. All right, moving on to the next. Clerk, can I have you call item number 5, please?
Hearing to consider a request by Caballero CA Storage LLC for a conditional use permit to allow the construction of a 100 megawatt or 400 MW hours battery energy storage system. County file number DRC 2019-00258, Supervisorial District 4, Project Manager Eric Hughes.
Carolyn, can I have you introduce the project team, please?
Yeah, so the project team on this item is Eric Hughes, Principal Environmental Specialist, and myself for support.
All right, one last thing. And is there any ex parte on this item? No. Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Eric Hughes, County Planning and Building. Before you today, we have the Caballero California Storage Battery Energy Storage Project Conditional Use Permit, DRC 2019-00258. This project, as I said, is a battery energy storage system project, proposes a 100 megawatt facility or 400 megawatt hours. It would contain 68 battery energy storage containers, 34 megawatt inverters, and 34 megavolt amperes and pad mounted transformers. The project site is located next to the PG&E Mesa substation and would connect to the substation via a gen tie line. The project also includes additional site improvements, including driveway access, utilities, and water tanks. The project does propose approximately 6 acres of improvements. Here's a depiction of the vicinity map. As you can see, it's located in the southern portion of the county, near the county line. Just kind of south, in the community of Napomo, and then north of the city of Santa Maria. The project is located in the rural lands land use category. It's surrounded by, other agriculture and other land uses. Here you can see a depiction of the project site. The aerial has existing agriculture. There will be some agriculture that will continue on the site, even with the implementation of the project. And then as you can see, just to the, north-northwest, there is the PG&E Mesa substation where this will connect into. This is a depiction of the site plan, just giving you kind of an overlay of where the project will be located. As you can see, it's kind of on the northwest portion of the site here. The existing development residence will remain, and then this, you know, kind of open portion down here would actually be used for continued agriculture. This gives you just a depiction of the elevations. There's a lot in there, but overall, the containers themselves are approximately 9.5 feet. There are various components that will be taller, and then you can see the gen tie line, kind of this 40-foot pole that will then connect to the PG&E Mesa substation. Just again, showing you some additional components, the battery storage containers, the transformers, that's kind of what those will look like. Here we have utility buildings, the high and low bus switch, and the enclosed gearbox. The project was referred to various agencies, including the Ag Commission, APCD, PG&E, and the South County Advisory Council. Their comments have been noted in the staff report. We did receive some public correspondence that was included as part of the hearing agenda. There's a few letters of support, and there is one letter of opposition. The concern was mainly associated with the hazards of lithium ion batteries and their disposal. I would note that as part of the conditions of approval, this project is required to, you know, submit a recycling plan and a restoration plan, all of which will be verified during the building permit process. So there is a process to dispose of these, you know, batteries in compliance with state regulations. A mitigated negative declaration was prepared for this project. Mitigation measures were identified to address impacts to air quality, biological resources, cultural resources, hazardous and hazardous materials, tribal cultural resources, and then the mandatory findings of significance, also known as cumulative impacts. We did receive some comments. One was from PG&E, just regarding the Gentile line. Any utilities or, infrastructure improvements on PG&E property is actually subject to the California Public Utilities Commission regulations, and they're their own lead agency, and so they deal with those permits. So it is not being considered as part of this project. We did receive a letter from California Department of Fish and Wildlife, just noting that they concur with our biological analyses and the conditions of approval. And then we did have comments from the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District, just noting that they had some updates to their stock language for air quality, you know, dealing with air quality emissions. So, and then also for naturally occurring asbestos, which is also typically covered by dust mitigation. Those mitigation measures were updated. I submitted a memo yesterday just noting modifications to conditions 16 and 17, which is further clarify the new stock conditions from the APCD and already required regulations. And then the addition of condition 18, which just requires that a geologic evaluation be submitted to the Air Pollution Control District for naturally occurring asbestos. Again, these are existing regulations already in place. So per section 15073.5 C3 and C4 of the California Environmental Quality Act, the mitigated negative declaration remains valid and does not require recirculation. With that, staff recommends adopting the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with CEQA, and recommends the commission approve conditional use permit DRC 2019-00258 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the revised conditions listed in Exhibit B, which again were provided in a memo. Should the commission move to approve the project and want to review those conditions again, I have those ready. So that concludes staff's presentation. I'm available for questions, and we also do have the applicant here and I to give a presentation. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the presentation. Are there questions for staff?
I'm not sure if this will be for staff, but just this is my concern is safety. And I read through attachment 4, there were a lot of different safety measures in place. My question, I guess, for now would be, how many other such facilities are operating around the state? Is this commonplace, especially being in this type location where it will be unstaffed and close to a city? I mean, how common is this?
Eric Hughes County Planning Building. I think the applicant would probably be able to give you a little bit better idea, but I would just note there are more of these coming online throughout the state. They're becoming more common. And in general, you would like to locate these close to an existing distribution facility, such as the Mesa substation, to reduce, you know, the need to create long, you know, tie-ins. So, so from a location perspective, this is probably more of an ideal location. But as far as the number in the state, hopefully the applicant could give us a better idea of that.
Okay, and just trying to visualize and understand from attachment four, the safety measures. So each battery is going to be, or battery storage will be encased in kind of a fire retardant situation. I mean, if you could just run through some of the safety measures and just kind of explain them.
Eric Hughes County Planning Building. So I'll bring the applicant up to give more detailed. I think they have some folks here that can speak to that. But I would just note that there are existing regulations in place. It's NFPA 855. So the state has created, you know, basically building code. There's regulations on how these are constructed, all the safety measures involved, and that will all be reviewed as part of, you know, the condition compliance. But again, as far as a little more specifics of the actual details, I'll let the applicant speak to that.
Okay, so there are already state. So this is a process, because it's new to me, but it's already established enough that there are state regulations and there will be, okay. All right, sounds good.
That's
thank
great.
You.
Don, do you have any questions?
Mayor, I'll listen to this.
Okay, well, the one question I have, it was regarding Cal Fire's letter, and it was talking about the batteries being non-reactive with water and that the project will give documentation. Can you just kind of expound on that a little bit and what type of documentation? Because it does sound like there's a sprinkler system in the battery packs, but if water's non-reactive, you know, why would we even have that, I guess?
I'm not sure the exact system and how that works, but what I can say is that the NFP 855 is actually fire code, and so there's a whole list of, we'll say, measures that, as applicable, would be applied for dealing with fire suppression, the type of systems. A fire protection engineer ultimately prepares those plans and, you know, certifies them. Obviously, it's referred to and reviewed by Cal Fire. So I don't know the intricacies of when the water component comes into place. As a, you know, standard Cal Fire, even if there wasn't a fire necessarily associated with a container unit, right, if there was a fire, they still have at least a water tank and fire suppression. But I think the applicant can speak more to the actual fire suppression inside each container and how that works, even if there is water, so.
All right, it sounds like we do have the applicant here to come and give us some feedback. And then if there's anybody in the audience who's wanting to speak on this item, if you can make sure to fill out a speaker slip, please.
Good morning, James Devon with Origis Energy. First, thank you, commissioners, and also to staff. We've been working with staff for many, many years on this application. We also have the landowner in the audience today as well. So just a little background on Origis Energy. We're a renewable energy company. We do primarily solar and battery storage projects. Sometimes we will do what's called a standalone storage or battery energy storage system. BESS is the acronym that you'll hear in the industry. And then sometimes, or a lot of times, the battery storage is a component of a solar project. So knowing that the county has done lots of solar projects before, a few large-scale solar projects, I don't think there's any that are currently attached to solar that are operating right now in the county. There are a few. There's at least one other battery storage project that's operating, but I would say that it's older, and a lot of technology advancements have happened in the industry and continue to happen. And so the technology that we're using, it's, and I'll try to address some of the questions around safety and just the number of battery energy storage projects around the state. There's a bunch. And as staff commented, there's a bunch more coming. One of the reasons for that is in the state of California, we have a lot of renewable energy that's coming online, and renewable energy, whether it's wind or solar, as you may know, you can't store the energy. So it's as it is generated is when it goes on to the electrical grid. these battery energy storage projects allow for that electricity that's generated to be stored so that it can be tapped at a later time. The unique location of where this project is located is, as staff mentioned, it's right next to the PG&E Mesa substation. That's a fairly large substation in the county, and it's the, to my knowledge, it's the biggest substation at the end of the extension cord, if you will, for PG&E's system. So PG&E's system goes all the way to Vandenberg, and then that's the end of it. It doesn't go into southern Santa Barbara County. It only PG&E only serves in northern. So this will actually help to stabilize the electrical grid as well. The project does have a contract with PG&E to sell the power that's generated from this, or it's stored from this, to PG&E. So it's helping them with their electrical grid. I don't have an exact number of how many of these systems are online in the state, but I would say that there are hundreds in the process right now across the state. And I would guess there's at least 10 to 20 that are already online. So the size of these containers are around the size of, if you're familiar with like a sea container or like a semi-trailer container, that's about the size. Historically, they were sea containers that were actually modified to store batteries. Now they're totally different. Now these are containers that are specifically made for storing batteries. And so all the access to the batteries are from the outside versus, if you can imagine opening a semi-trailer door and then going in. That was how they were accessed previously. Now everything is accessed from the outside. Each container has its own air conditioning unit. And then depending on the technology, they either have some sort of fire suppression or there's something else that's managing that system. I do want to address the CAL FIRE letter. The CAL FIRE letter was, unless if it's a new one, is actually from when we originally filed our application. And at that time, we were looking at either putting the battery components in a building, or it was this older style. So totally different technology now that's being used. We're using state-of-the-art technology. And so I do not believe we're actually using any water suppression in the units themselves. And so one thing that is required of us is we have to, and staff mentioned this, NFPA 855 is the federal guideline for how these systems are designed, and every battery manufacturer has to meet those standards. And we have to show that documentation of how the battery components are meeting that standard when we submit our building permit applications to county. And so the county will review that, CAL FIRE will review that to make sure that everything we've submitted is up to those standards. And there's a whole slew of other standards as well. 855 is the most known one. And then let me think if there's anything else I can address. The other important thing from a fire protection is one of the things that NFPA 855 requires is the spacing between these batteries. So they're at least 7 feet apart, so that if something happens in one, it doesn't trigger to the next one. And so the design will meet all of those regulations and allows for fire trucks to enter into the site. And so that the layout has been designed so that fire trucks can get in and out with circulation and what have you. So I think I'll try to answer more questions, but I think I addressed all the questions at least for now.
I have a curiosity question. This is a nice explanation of what you're doing. Does this have any relationship to the idea of doing a battery storage unit at the end, the north end of Morro Bay? Near the town, is this another a more modern version or
it's
what?
It's a more modern version than that. That's right. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I had just a couple more follow-ups. So because what I know of the danger of lithium batteries is explosion. So the C train, specialty C trains, they could contain such an explosion. Okay.
Yeah. So they're made to contain everything within each unit. Our technical person who was going to be here was not able to, he had travel issues trying to get here today. So, but I can try to do my best to answer any other technical questions.
I don't need the technical. Just tell me if you'll keep the explosion in.
That's the intent. And if I can just add to that, the other difference from past projects that have had issues is knowledge of when these happen, it's made to contain them within the containers, and it's also made to safeguard the fire department who comes on site. So they're not opening doors and allowing oxygen in, which then causes a chain reaction. Now everything is managed from outside so that it's not, you don't have those runaway issues.
Okay, and then my last question. So it's not going to be staffed on a daily basis, but how often is it checked? For example, like if the air conditioning system's going or whatever.
It's all watched on a daily basis 24/7 from a remote location. But that's pretty typical for both solar, wind, and these battery technologies where they're checking every little thing, and they can see down to the cell level of if there's some irregularity or something like that, and then things can be turned off or disconnected or what have you. All of that can be done remotely.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. I'm just going to follow up on the fire question regarding water. In the project description, it was saying something about a hot aerosol fire suppression system. Is that what's going to be used versus water?
I don't know the specifics, to be honest, on what is being used, because the technology that we're using is again, very, very new. And they've moved away from using water and moved away from having an internal fire suppression like sprinkler system through the inside. And they've gone to a different way of containing it within the battery containers themselves. That meet this federal requirement.
All right. Well, thank you for the presentation. So at this point, I will ask if there's any public comment on this item.
All right. I've received no speaker slips.
All right. Perfect. Hearing no public comment, I will close public comment and open it up for discussion.
I think it sounds like a good project. I think I feel more assured. I'm glad to hear that it's even more ahead of possibly what's going on in Morro Bay, because I know there's a lot of debate there. So yeah, I would be ready to move to approve unless you have anything else.
Don, any comments?
Another question of the connection here. It looks perhaps Morro Bay Power Plant will continue past 2025. Is this one of the reasons that you're going ahead with this? Because it does mention it in our objectives here. So how are you connected with the opening or closing of the plant?
I don't know about that. So we're connected directly to the PG&E Mesa substation. Okay. And so we'll be drawing power from that. But I don't think it's not, to my knowledge, it's not directly connected to any power that's directly being generated at that generating station.
Thank you.
All right. I think this is a really good project. I think we need more of these type of projects, especially with the transition to solar and wind, and eventually the loss of Diablo. I think it's an important project to kind of move forward. So unless
they're sure with that.
Unless there's any other comments, I would look for a motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion. Let's see. We adopt the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with the applicable provisions of CEQA and approve conditional use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. I also, go ahead.
I was just going to recommend noting the revised conditions as submitted.
Yes, the revised conditions as submitted. And I do want to thank the landowners for being here. That makes a difference to me. If they're comfortable, then that makes me more comfortable. So thank you.
I'll second your motion.
All right, Madam Clerk, can I have you call the roll, please?
Thank you. Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes. All right, well, thank you. And good luck with the project. All right. Let's see. I will entertain a motion to take all testimony and correspondence into the record.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
You had a good team today, didn't you?